The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast.
Order! I call the XFM Breakfast Show podcast. Order, quiet. Show some respect for the opposition. Order! So, that was a little nod to the budget there, Dave. A little topical nod there to the... Because it was the budget this week, wasn't it?
Yes.
George Osborne's budget there. And I thought it'd make a sort of topical and light-hearted introduction to the podcast.
Mm. Of course, the magic of podcasts are that people could be listening to this any time of the year, so...
Yeah.
Unless they listen within the next week, that's going to be very dated very quickly.
Well, you say that, but you know, if they're not listening till November when the autumn budget happens,
yeah,
then you'll find it works very well then as well.
Okay, so two windows you have to listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
Mid-March.
That's right. And perhaps if you could outline for us, Chancellor Intern Charles,
nice.
some of the highlights of your podcast that you've from your red box. But deliver it at the start of the budget for you.
I was probably in the red corner. That clearly shows my lack of political knowledge.
Yeah.
On the benches, we have newsreader Alex.
On the benches, is it? Because the budget, you know, you've got... Well, no, it is. But right. if you're delivering a budget, you don't say, on the benches are cuts in the tax for bingo halls. You don't say they're on the benches, do you? Say...
On the cards.
Get it out of your tatty red box, Charles.
Okay.
That'd be nice and topical, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I'm pulling it out of my box and onto the table.
The wool sack. You have to pull out your wool sack.
My wool sack.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a little joke there about your testicle.
Oh. Right. Fair enough. That makes much sense.
Yeah, that's a joke there. Yeah. Every time I hear them in Parliament talking about the wool sack, I think there's a little opportunity for a joke there, David Cameron. You could have said, and I don't like the look of my of the Right Honourable Member of Parliament for Henley's wool sack. You could have said that, didn't he? But he never does he? And then giggle and point at the testicles of Boris Johnson, but he never does. Anyway, sorry, what's in the budget? Well, podcast?
Budget? Newsreader Alex is a bit odd.
Yeah, we know that.
Yeah. Grown men cry at the oddest things.
Yeah, we played a game of Boys Don't Cry, didn't we?
And you're a bit of a perv. Oh. Sort of. It comes across as that in real life. You're not.
wow, I don't know.
Yeah. Yo,
he knows. He knows where his future job bread is buttered, doesn't he? Go on.
You talked to Noel Edmonds.
I did phone Noel
regarding another red tatty box.
Yeah, so
to speak. And Maxim Crowley brings us another thought for the day, which enlightens us all.
Satanism. Okay, good. Can you commend the podcast to the house?
I commend it to the house.
Commend the podcast.
I commend the podcast to the house. Here you go. Here you go.
Chancellor doesn't say, here you go.
Does he not?
Leaves it at the house. No,
put it next to your face. The XFM Breakfast Show with
John Holmes podcast. XFM. And you open the door and you step inside. We're inside our hearts. This is your life. Good to the last drop. Doesn't get any better than this. This isn't a seminar. This isn't a weekend retreat.
Are we on?
There.
John Holmes.
And good morning and hello and welcome to you at this, the hour of 7 o'clock. As once again, like the researchers of the the Bicep 2 project, we train our telescopes on this tiny, seemingly insignificant corner of the radio to find evidence of a growth spurt that would take this infant show from listening figures that are unimaginably small up to a size which, thanks to rapid expansion and models of inflation, would tie in with Einstein's grand unified theory of ill-conceived breakfast shows. Alas, we've discovered that it's quite hard to give ripples of gravitational energy in the fabric of space a radar audience measuring diary, so we're going to... Plus, the other option for creation is God, of course, and God only listens to Kiss in the morning, doesn't he? Because he's a big fan of undemanding, witless giggling. But here's what he's missing out on, the big idiot. Well, for start this morning, we bring you Yo Suchet, in which the noted broadcaster and former newsreader John Suchet sits in a Japanese restaurant in front of a conveyor belt, upon which, instead of rice and fish, are various badly written celebrity autobiographies. He picks one and reads it out. Of course he does. That's Yo Suchet. Also this morning, tickets to see John Bishop, etc. at the Teenage Cancer Trust Comedy Night in a game of, as the actress said, to the Bishop. That's later. Plus, if you're a scientist and you've discovered new evidence to support the Big Bang Theory, congratulations this morning. Our sponsor, God, has donated a crate of champagne and a signed copy of the Bible to give away this morning. Dave is producing. Matt's not here because he's been absorbed by Russia following the referendum that's seen the country begin to annex his news. So Alex is here, attempting to preserve its sovereignty and unity. I am John Holmes, and this is XFM Breakfast.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast.
And time for the largely irrelevant paper review. So if you've seen other media outlets reviewing papers, you know the kind of thing the likes of On Your Sky News, your BBC Breakfast. Now they invite celebrities on, don't they, to give their opinions on what the papers, the newspapers are saying about all the big stories, don't they? That's what they do. It's a way of covering the newspapers. You know, what does the braless gardener Charlie Dimmock make of the Telegraph's coverage of the theories surrounding the disappearance of the Malaysian plane? What about Zoe Ball's analysis of Barclays Bank bosses being given £32 million worth of bonuses? And what does Nicholas Parsons make of the discovery of echoes of the Big Bang, potentially changing our entire conception of how the universe came to exist? That's, if you want to know their opinions on the news, they are the places to go to find them. But we here at XFM Breakfast review the publications that the other outlets seem to miss in what the largely irrelevant papers say. So up first this morning, producer Simon.
Good morning.
Good morning, producer Simon. And what's caught your producing eye?
Well, I'm very excited, actually. I have a copy of Bowls International.
Yes.
The world's number one bowls magazine. Launched in 1981, Bowls International has established itself as the number one magazine for all bowlers in the UK and beyond.
Well, it's very much the number one, number two, and number three, given that there are no others. Yeah. For my knowledge.
It's true, it stands alone. But, you know, with articles such as Umpire's Clinic, The Life and Death of the Sonic Measure, you know, how can it not win? You know, oh, yeah, club scene, how clubs are fighting membership loss.
Yeah, well, it's a big issue, isn't it? Because they are for, I mean, essentially, the people who play bowls are old people, and then they die, don't they?
Well, funny you should say that. Kerry Packwood and John Rednell are recruiting young players.
Yes.
They give us a how-to guide. Plus, Willie Wood talks about making practice more engaging.
Oh, really?
I love Willie Wood.
Oh, he's the go-to guru on making practice more engaging for me.
He's big, and I wonder if David Rees-Jones, the voice of bowls, has anything to say on it, as he is the voice on all matters on bowling.
Bowls International magazine there. Fascinating read. I've got meat paper. Now, at once divisive and universal, delicious and disturbing, funny and dead serious, meat polarises people unlike any other food.
Does it?
Yes, it does. Just ask Morrissey. Yeah, I don't suppose he gets meat paper. here at Meat Paper, we have no agenda except to gnaw on the ideas.
Oh, nice.
And artistic excursions and bone-deep emotions on the subject of meat. Pumped-up cows in the latest edition. Bucolic chickens.
What's a pumped-up cow? Does it go into any more detail, or...?
It's like a pumped-up kick.
Right, okay.
Foster the people, but a little bit.
I imagine cows doing weights or something. Is it that?
No, Dave, it's not. No. That's just silly, isn't it? Just silly. Futures filled with fake meat, wild meat, tiny meat, trendy meat, lab meat, insect meat, utopian meat, business meat, moral meat, political meat, and fantastical meat. All in this month's issue. A Fish Without Bones is the lead article. A Fish Without Bones, The Rise of Meat Glue.
I like the idea of meat glue.
So I've heard it. It says that in the toilets around here. The Afterlife of Afterbirth. Notes on the correct way to eat human placenta is in meat paper. Spam in a can, a brief history of eating meat in orbit. This is a good magazine.
Yeah.
And deep freeze, if only a 14-year-old breast could talk. Sorry, chicken breast. If only a 14-year-old chicken breast could talk. Yeah. So I thought I picked up an entirely different kind of magazine there for a moment. What have you got, Dave?
Elevator World. Elevator World, of course, has its popular sister magazine, Elevator World India.
Yes.
Which was, as we all remember, a shrewd move, because elevators are absolutely massive in India, so that was the one place you'd want to launch your sister magazine. I'm sure we can all agree on that.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Features include reimagining the future of vertical transportation.
Yeah.
The focus this month on machine roomless elevators, including the right elevators at the right time, rising to the challenge.
Very
little,
clever.
Little play on words.
Very
there.
Clever.
And MRL elevators, again, on the rise.
They've really only got one play on words.
They have. It's to do with rising, isn't it? Because that's what elevators do.
Yeah.
The industry pro... You'll like this, chaps. Industry profile on Michael J. Ryan. You all know who he is.
He's huge.
Come on.
He's the vice president.
Yes.
Wasn't he the man from Hungerford?
I don't think so.
Oh, I thought he was called Michael. Anyway,
he's the vice president of the Elevator Escalator Safety Foundation.
Oh, Michael Ryan!
This is why we love him. He straddles both the elevators and the escalators. No one's ever done that before, so that's the big interview this month in Elevator World.
I look forward. Can I borrow your copy when you finish with it?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
What a joy. Elevator World meat paper. And whatever size was.
Our Bowls International.
That's unforgettable. Unforgettable Bowls International.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast. XFM.
And it's time once again for the XFM appeal. Just look at these pictures. These are images taken and filmed from across the music industry, and they're heartbreaking. What you're looking at are pictures of bands that are facing starvation. And that is because their once fertile songwriting careers are now barren. The one hit that kept a meagre income coming in is now little played, and their careers are dying. But as you'll know, XFM does important work in some of the most affected areas. We built that toilet for the lead singer of Stiltski. And Terrorvision now have a goat on drums. Yet still bands with only one real hit are going hungry, and we fear that worse is to come. Here's how you can help.
One-hit musicians are starving. Soul Asylum are skin and bone, while Brand Van 3000 can't afford to drink in LA, or anywhere else for that matter. But there is a way we can ease the suffering. Each time a band or artist's one hit is played on the radio, it could earn them up to 44p in publishing and PRS fees. It's too late for some. Third Eye Blind no longer live a semi-charmed life, as they're dead. And sadly, the light went out for rock band Lit back in early 2001. Please donate by suggesting a song we should play. Your support could make all the difference. Do something important today. Then pick up the phone. Our operators are standing by. Just call 83936 on text or telephone at XFM on Twitter with your suggestions. your donations count. Please help. Thank you.
And thanks this morning to Lizzie in Kettering, who have helped this band. 44 pence now on its way to Fountains of Wayne.
Lizzie's mum has got it going on. Lizzie's mum has got it going on.
The tear-strewn faces of Fountains of Wayne. Little fountains of tears running down there. Little faces as they sit in the dust. Unable to eat anything and because they've got no food, because their one hit never gets played. But now 44 pence, they're raised. Thank you to Lizzie in Kettering, who can feel very good about herself this morning. Raising money for Fountains of Wayne through the XFM charity appeal. Songs played very rarely on the radio. This is where we play them to get them some money. Dave's in the call centre. Dave, can you hear me? Thanks.
Yes, John, hello.
Hi, Dave. It sounds busy down there, Dave.
Phone's ringing off the hook this morning. Let me just quickly finish this call to Megan. Hi, Megan. Yes, no worries at all. We will suggest Mr. Wazzo Flatbeat, but you've got a very slim chance of getting that played. Thank you very much. Cheers. Yeah, a lot of calls coming through this morning, John, for some really bizarre choices as well.
Yeah.
You know, to help these bands out, they need the help, and thankfully the listeners, you know, are really pitching in and coming through in their droves.
What have we got?
Tony, Steve Brookstein, Against All Odds. He's after, which...
right, good.
You know, but they all need the help, John, that's the thing.
Yeah, some of them are worthy than others, Dave, aren't they?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, the danger with giving Brookstein money is that he might come back and do another song, so...
yeah, well,
another song that's not his.
We're all aware of that, so, yeah. Like
and
I say...
And he won't get the money, because Against All Odds was written by Phil Collins, wasn't it?
Really good point, actually, yes. So, Tony, yeah, Steve won't be getting a single penny.
Yeah.
Rick, Hannah and Faye all going for the very popular choice. We see it every week, but obviously it's very popular. It's Baby Bird with You're Gorgeous.
Yeah.
As we know, we want to see them succeed and, you know, earn a bit more cash. Craig, Space Hog, in the meantime, another great suggestion. Thanks for getting involved.
Very good.
Don,
can I just point out, while you're talking, Dave, the phones are still, no one's answering them, it sounds like.
I know, because I'm chatting to you, John. You're actually...
I know, but that means that bands are... I always think this in these call centres. Yeah. You go, look, stop talking to the people doing the call centering. It means they're not raising money, doesn't it? They're just wasting time.
As you can hear, it's a really busy room, so I don't know why the rest of them aren't picking up the phones. It's weird.
It is weird, isn't it? It's like, I'll tell you what it's like, Dave. It's like it was just you down there, and it was some kind of sound effect.
No, I'm definitely in the calls.
Jesus, John.
XFM. The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast.
John Suchet has been the recipient of many honours for his contribution to current affairs over the years. In 1986, John Suchet was named Television Journalist of the Year. In 1996, he was the Television Newscaster of the Year. He began his career in 1968 with Reuters, where his first assignment saw him covering the Paris riots, which ultimately brought down President de Gaulle. And he was rightly commended for his sensitive live coverage of the funeral of Princess of the Diana of the Wales. The question, of course, after a career like that is, where do you go from there? Well, the answer, the XFM Breakfast Show, who put you in a Japanese restaurant. Put John Suchet in a Japanese restaurant where the rice and fish dishes have been replaced by various poorly written celebrity autobiographies going round and round on the conveyor belt instead of food. And the Television Journalist of the Year, 1986, then picks one and reads aloud from it in a feature that we like to call Yo Suchet. I think I'm right in saying we can cross live now to the Yo Suchet. He's in this morning, which is the one at St Pancras Station. It's opposite Boots, if you happen to know it. He's in there. John Suchet.
Morning, John.
Yo Suchet!
What shall we have today? Decisions, decisions. Mike Tyson's Undisputed Truth?
Mm-hmm.
Anne Widdecombe with Strictly Anne.
Tempting.
Will Young's Funny Peculiar.
Not so tempting.
This is the one. Katie Price's Being Jordan. Let me begin. I've been called a slapper, a freak, and a bimbo. But there's more to me than that. I'm also obsessed with celebrity. This is my story. Modelling for The Sun sent my career stratospheric, and I decided to trade in Jeff, my first boyfriend, for a partner more fitting to my celebrity status. And soon I ended up with first a gladiator, and then Dane Bowers, a pop star from a band no one remembers anymore. I nearly went out with Teddy Sheringham, but he went cold when the papers found out about us. I did meet David Beckham, though. He held my hand while Posh wasn't looking. She's really rough without makeup. See you next week, John.
Do you know, I'm not sure whether that was Katie Price or John Suchet reading aloud from his own book.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast.
We have someone to play a game of Boys Don't Cry. Let us find out who is on the line, the telly line. Hello, who's that? Who's that there? Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hello, who's that?
Hi, I'm Genevieve.
Genevieve. Hello, Jen. What, like the car? Like the veteran car?
Yes, oh, like the car.
How lovely. Were you named after the car?
I hope not. No, I hope not.
I was going to ask you an awkward, perhaps you were conceived in the back of one question.
That's something I haven't really delved into, but I want to find out.
Okay, well, let's not delve into it live on the radio. You know, it might be something you want to... Let's have a conversation with your parents about it. That's all I'm saying, Genevieve.
I'll delve into that either.
What a lovely name it is. And it's lovely to have you on, Genevieve. A fan of The Cure, perchance?
Oh, yes. Hell,
yeah. Hell, yeah. Ooh, hell, isn't it? Exactly right. Well, look, they're playing at the Teenage Cancer Trust, and you'll be playing a game of Boys Don't Cry. Now, what I'm going to do, Genevieve, is I'm going to tell you three little stories, all right? Three little tales of when grown men genuinely cried, all right? And the three grown men in question are myself, producer Dave, and producer Simon. You have to tell us which story happened to which person. Does that make sense? I'll be honest, Genevieve, we've never played this before and we haven't thought it through properly. We'll see what happens as we play Boys Don't Cry. We didn't involve newsreader Alex in this so much, Genevieve, because it's slightly awkward with Alex, because he goes home and cries every night while shaving his head, looking into a mirror. Just crying, hot tears.
How do you know
hot tears of despair.
How do you know that?
We've got webcams. Anyway, here are the stories, Genevieve. Now, this is story number one, and I want you to tell me which member of the team, me, producer Simon, or producer Dave, this refers to. Whilst babysitting his friend's four-year-old, this team member decided to watch the cartoon movie An American Tale, and then got choked up during the moment in the film where the little mouse Fievel sings Somewhere Out There. He then realised the child had fallen asleep, and effectively he'd been watching the film and crying to it on his own. Which member of the team do you think that was? Is it producer Dave, producer Simon?
I think it might be Simon.
Is the right answer. It's the right answer.
Yes.
How did you know? Simon, that was right.
Oh, don't do it.
Listen.
Honestly.
He's welling up, Genevieve.
Tell me every time.
He's wafting his eyes.
Passing the tissue.
Oh, Simon, you're like a little girl.
Oh, what?
Story number two, Genevieve. Story number two. Good work. These stories could all be about the same person.
Yeah.
I must tell you that. It doesn't necessarily have to be go between us, because that would be a process of elimination. This still could be any three of us, right? So use your skill and judgment. While slightly hungover and a little bit emotional, this team member welled up at the recent Simon the Ogre Thomas Cook advert. Where a monster-like man returns to his human state whilst unwinding on holiday with his family. Which team member, and it could be any of us, Simon, Dave or me, cried at a Thomas Cook advert?
I'm guessing Dave.
You're absolutely correct.
It's the right answer. Amazing. You know us so well, Jonathan.
Oh, I'm a loyal listener. I'm an incredibly loyal listener. I know you.
May I just say, in my defence, that is a very moving and very strong and well-produced advert.
Massive idiot.
Really, really hammers home the de-stressing nature of a holiday. When he dives into the seas.
You're right, Simon. You're right, Simon.
Honestly, you've got us both going now, John.
Aww. Oh, God. Story number three, again, could be any of us. Here we go. Final one. Present at the birth of a child. This person shed a tear, understandable. But was then conflicted, because as the young, attractive assistant midwife that was helping the baby out bent over... This person could see down her top.
I think if you know the team, this one's blooming easy, actually.
Yeah.
Who was it, Genevieve?
I'm thinking it's you.
It's the right answer.
Yay!
Congratulations, Genevieve. You have two tickets to see The Cure playing a three-hour set.
Yay!
At the Royal Albert Hall. And what a bonus for you, Genevieve, because I'll be introducing them on stage. How nice.
Oh, excellent. Thank you. I'll be wearing a high-top blouse.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast.
I need a hit of music news.
Music news.
Alex is the dealer. What have you got, Alex?
Boom. Well, the first bands have been announced for this for this year's Camden Crawl, which is back in North London on the 20th and 21st of June. These are some of the bands that are going to be amongst the first acts to be revealed for the multi-venue event. Of Montreal, Steve Mason and Yuck. There are going to be over 250 live artists, DJs and unique fringe acts booked to perform. And also, don't forget that Tents, Portaloos and Mud will be nowhere to be seen as the pre-Glastonbury event is set in a plumbing-friendly environment comprised of sunny beer gardens and more than 25 venues. Tickets are on sale today.
Thanks, Alex.
Do you know something?
What?
I can't see you properly, John. There's a mic post in the way. It reminds me when I went to Wembley to watch the St Johnstone's Paint Trophy final, sitting behind a wide brick stand, essentially preventing my view of what was apparently a great spectacle.
You know that dealers aren't supposed to take their own supply, don't you? Alex has gone weird again, everyone. This happened yesterday in the music news. I think first he bangs on that Portaloos, and now he's gone half blind. Yesterday we learned he's got the job as a newsreader, but couldn't actually, what was it?
I said code instead of code line, but that, yeah, that's understandable. People mispronounce things now and again.
Yeah.
You know?
That's fine, I don't mind. Yeah.
So there's some things that I can get.
Do you want me to move where you can see me? It's quite a cramped studio, and Alex.
I want to see a great spectacle, and you are it. I can hear you, but I can't. I want to see what I'm listening to.
Here I am. In all my glory.
You're beautiful.
Thank you.
What's going on?
We're having a moment, Dave.
No.
We're mid music news.
We're going to get a room.
Oh, finally, XFM's releasing its own limited edition.
Oh, we're not interested in that. Carry on. What is this news? What?
XFM releasing its own limited edition 12-inch for Record Store Day 2014 to raise money for War Child. John Kennedy's Exposure Sessions on vinyl will be available for free, with donations going to War Child at a selection of Record Store Day shops on the 19th of April. There will only be 1,000 copies of the record, which features session tracks from Daughter, Savages, Drenge and Anna Calvi.
Among others. Look, I have it in my mortal hand. Look, I am holding John Kennedy's exclusive 2XFM 12-inch.
It's a masterpiece.
Isn't it, though?
I love it.
Isn't it? Look how green it is on the front there. Look.
Put it next to your face.
There.
Put it there.
It's on it.
It's great.
There's a photo. Dave's taking a photograph of it pressing on my face. And you can see that at XFM on Twitter.
If your face was, an album cover, it would be that. It's beautiful.
There really are a limited edition of these. And rather incredible it is too. You can have a look at the full track listing and full details at xfm.co.uk, of course. And as part of record, have you finished meeting news, boy?
Yes, find out more on xfm.co.uk. That's what I was going to say.
I just said that. On Thursday, tomorrow, Alex. Dan O'Connell will be doing the Drive Time Show live from Banquet Records in London. This is in aid of Record Store Day. And we'll be revealing the full list of releases that bands will be bringing out for the vinyl celebration. B-sides, rare versions, live tracks, that kind of thing. XFM are the official media partners this year XFM's Record Store Day. Dan also joined by Tom Smith from Editors, who will be performing a live session in Banquet Records exclusively for XFM. Here's Biffy Clyro. Living with Alex is a problem.
XFM. The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. XFM.
You're right, Simon.
Is this still getting a bit much?
It's off again.
Just close your eyes and imagine the little mouse.
He's singing it to his sister, John. They might be separated by miles and miles of ocean, but they're singing and looking at the same moon.
Simon cried to this when he watched it. What was it? An American Tale.
Yeah, Tale. Yeah, right. Followed up by Fievel Goes West. Not as emotionally harrowing, but still good.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast. XFM.
I'm John Holmes, and this is where we look with our eyes, stare into the abyss that is the showbiz tossip. And remember, as Nietzsche once said, if you stare long enough into the showbiz tossip, the showbiz tossip will stare back into you. And that's exactly what it'll be doing this morning. For Alex is the Nietzsche of the morning.
Hello.
Yeah. And what have you got, Alex? What have you found in the showbiz tossip from the Chaff News desk this morning?
Well, this is unbelievable. There's many divas around in the showbiz world, but this one really takes the biscuit.
Right.
The big reunion's Kavanagh.
What?
Yeah, you know, he stormed off drunk from rehearsal, leaving that big, well-known band Fifth Story questioning his future with them. Things couldn't have really got much...
No, carry on.
Yeah, well, things couldn't have really got much worse for Fifth Story.
No, I'm going to have to stop you. What's a Kavanagh and what a Fifth Story?
A Kavanagh is like a person who once made music in the 90s.
Right.
A man.
Yes.
Blonde hair.
Right.
Cute looking. Was good looking back then, but apparently, I don't know what he looks like now.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm glad your knowledge of this.
Yeah, that's my roundabout kind of definition of Kavanagh.
What music did he do?
Pop.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember Kavanagh actually.
Well, you would.
Yeah. You must remember Kavanagh.
I don't remember Kavanagh.
Like I think maybe late 90s. He was around the era of when A1 were about and.
I remember this song, but this was a cover version, isn't it?
I think it is a cover
version. So, I think I'm aware of the original. Are you suggesting... Why are you raving it? Alex is actually waving his hands in the air to them. What are you doing?
I remember taking my top off to this track.
Whoa, what? This is... What sort of club?
Just a normal one.
That's conjured up an image I didn't want in my head. You with your top off, dancing to Kavanagh.
It wasn't in a club. I wouldn't have got away with that. Yeah, maybe
somewhere. What, you just on your own in your house, you weird man?
Well, in my shed.
Did you buy that?
I did. I actually bought it.
Bought that song?
I even remember the year. It was 1997.
How old were you?
I was, 19.
He's absolutely right. It was 1997.
He bought that.
Hold on, you were 19.
Yeah.
That's too... Alex, I'm so sorry, but that's too old to be buying Kavanagh singles.
Oh, come on. I just call it good taste in music.
We will not call it that.
You can't buy that at 19, Alex. What's wrong? Then take your top off and dance to it in your shed. What's wrong with you? You can only get away with buying that is if you were 11 and had bought it for your sister.
Yeah. I can't turn the clock back, and neither do I want to.
Wow. I've lost all respect for you, Alex, from us.
Do you want more on this news?
Not really. I mean, what is Fifth Story? Who's it? What is Fifth Story?
I don't know. Probably a sequel to the fourth one. I don't...
No, fifth story. I do know this because it's on that big reunion program, which I happen to have come across a couple of times, which is... It's not a great program, but fifth story
rather,
are a super
rather
group.
Come across that. All right. Come across okay. Alex dancing in his shed with his top off.
Dane Bowers, Adam Rickett, Gareth Gates, Kenzie.
What a super group.
I know. And Kavanagh.
XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast.
And we welcome now friend of the show, Vexen Le Crowley, to the studio, to XFM Breakfast. He is, of course, the High Priest of the Temple of Mephistopheles in Hendon and other broadcast outlets, of course, of the morning. We'll have a moment to they invite you to step off the world, as you know, to pause for thought, to embrace and reflect upon your spirituality and your spiritual side, your soul, if you will. But all of those other broadcast outlets do it with sort of, you know, Christianity or Islam or Judaism or other religions. But XFM is nothing if not an equal opportunities employer, as you know, which is why we fill the gap in the market by inviting Vexen Le Crowley to share with us his thought for the day for Satanists.
Good morning. With spring fast approaching, I've been spending a bit of time in the garden. It's a great opportunity to be at one with nature, to appreciate the wonders of life, and then denounce it by carving satanic symbols into the ground with a crude knife as a tribute to he, our most murderous leader, who resides in the foul pit of stench from which your soul will have no escape as your flesh is ripped from your back in ribbons by demons. So, I was there last week tending to my bulbs with the severed claw of a jackal when I spotted a weed which had made its way through the concrete surface of the sacrificial altar that I built last summer near the greenhouse. And as I examined the manner in which the plant had made its way through against all odds, I thought, do you know, Satan is a lot like that, isn't he? For no matter what obstacles one puts in the way of the archfiend Diabolus, the Apollyon or ultimate destroyer, he always finds a way to carve his way upwards through the crust of hell to blossom above, a true thorn in the side of goodness and morality, a clump of satanic nightshade in the forest of life, a thistle in the Garden of Eden, upon which Eve would hurt her bottom when squatting to have a wee. And that's why, taking inspiration from this plant, which grew in such inhospitable surroundings, I immediately went online, purchased 200 hydroponic lamps and a number of seeds, and within a week was able to turn the greenhouse attic over to the industrial production of cannabis. When ready, I put the drug in cakes to be sold at town meetings, and I also took to dealing the gear down at the local Satanist youth club, because it's great to see young people take such an interest in gardening. That should give us all something to think about.
The High Priest, Vexen Le Crowley, there with another of his thought for the day for Satanists.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast. XFM.
What would you count as really good music? Is it Kavanagh?
Kavanagh, yes. Yes, I would.
From the 90s.
500 Kavanaghs, I would regard as not enough, DJs.
If you you missed this earlier,
please
what we
do
learned,
recap for everyone, John.
Yeah, what we well, it's just going to put the image in our minds again, isn't it? What we learned earlier on the programme is that Alex here not only bought a single by something called a Kavanagh back in the 90s, 97, I think you told
it
us.
It was.
That. Yeah, yeah. Not only did he buy that single, but then informed us that he took his shirt off and danced around to it on his own. Hello. There's more to this story.
You've missed out the important part as well, John, that it was in his shed that's where he danced.
Yeah.
Good point, yeah. I'd forgotten the shed.
Yeah.
I was trying to get the image out of my mind. The shed was the first bit to go. I don't want to be involved in Alex's 50 sheds of grey, I can tell you that. So you weren't alone.
Very good. Sorry?
You weren't alone.
Well, I was inside the shed, but, you know.
This is the weirdest story ever. Yeah, then what?
But obviously, you know, the windows were... You know, there were no curtains in the windows, so people could have carte blanche if they wanted to.
Why were you dancing in your shed with your shirt off, Alex? What? So I can't think of any circumstances. I mean, what did you do? Did you go to your shed thinking, I need to mend a bike. I was going to the shed to mend a bike. And then suddenly, the mood took you halfway through the oily chain.
It's intimate.
And you just thought, I'll take my shirt off and I'll dance to Kavanagh in here.
Yeah, it's great. But it's kind of weird, like, because if I do it in my bedroom,
you know, that's obvious. But if I do it in my shed, it's different, it's unique. I feel liberated, man. And wow. There are windows in my sheds there's a road sort of just outside my shed where people can sort of just look in if they want to.
So you knew,
it was risky, yeah. Oh. But in my bedroom, it's upstairs, no one can look in there.
Right.
It's like secretly you want to be spied on.
Alex, you're really weird.
Come on, man. I was 19. I was growing up.
I think. Does XFM have a resident psychologist? Do we have that?
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast.
I've got here Noel Edmonds' home phone number, right? You're not allowed to give out other people's phone numbers on the radio. That's against the rules. But you know, it's Noel Edmonds, and so no one will care. But what I thought we'd do, because you may well be aware that Noel Edmonds has said he wants to buy the BBC to stop it sleepwalking into destruction. He's got a consortium behind him, which means he's got money. And I've got a better proposition for him, right, Noel Edmonds, than the BBC. So I thought what we'd do, it's 20 past 7 in the morning, he'll be awake. I thought we'd give Noel Edmonds a call and I'll put my proposition to him.
Okay.
Yep, so, all right. Pass the phone over. Let's do this thing.
Oh, 1237.
No, don't read the number. Okay, so the phone, it's ringing. We've got Noel Edmonds' home phone number, and we're ringing. It's ringing. Will he pick it up? Yes, he will. Hello, good morning, Noel.
John.
Now, I've got a proposition for you, Noel.
Where you go, John. Your show, your game.
It is my show, but it's not a game, Noel. This is the point. This is serious. You've said you want to buy the BBC. I'm saying to you, don't bother with the BBC, partly because you haven't thought it through properly, because all you're going to do is end up with Mrs. Brown's Boys and an awkward legacy of Radio 1 DJs from the 1970s. I think you should buy XFM.
Oh, dear.
No, hear me out, right? It's got a lot going for it. Alright, I'm struggling to think of what, but there's a breakfast show that no one really listens to, for instance.
And where is the lady who played a role in this?
Well, no ladies, actually, here. There's just me, Matt, and producer Dave, although I accept that he looks like a girl. But he is a man.
Do you know, I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, to be fair, no, neither are we. He's got a girl's face. Anyway, what will you give us for XFM?
Are you happy to move on, immediately go for the money?
Yes, I am. Yep, let's do it.
What do you do to relax?
What the hell's that got to do with anything? I don't know. I once...
kissed Britney Spears.
Yes, I did, on her shaved head. who did you once kiss, Noel? If memory serves, it was a...
self-employed narrowboat painter.
Yes, that's right. Then Mr. Blobby with tongues. Come on, Edmonds, how much for XFM?
£10.
Did I mention we've got Ian Camfield?
£6.
Final offer?
Give you a smack.
Charming.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast.
And this Friday, what we thought we'd do, because each and every one of us, and we know we include you in this, because we've received many of your texts and tweets and communications about him. And that is, of course, Alex, the newsreader. Good morning, Alex.
Morning.
Morning. And we love you, Alex. You know we do.
Okay.
And... don't sound so surprised that we do. We enjoy you, Alex. We enjoy having you on the programme.
Oh, wow.
Because obviously Matt Dyson is off. Matt Dyson is away, and you've been standing in there for 2 weeks, I think. Mm. And you're with us next week as well.
I was with Ian Camfield last week.
That's right. Yeah, how was that?
It's really good.
And you'll be with us next week as well. And what we've got here, because it's Friday, we thought we'd round up the best bits of Alex from the week. That's the most forced and pained laughter I've ever heard.
Yeah.
So if you'd like to... it's a celebration of Alex, if you want. A celebration of Alex. We thought it was a nice Friday thing to do. So if you want to... in case you've missed any of Alex's skills and art forms this week, here we go with this week's Best of Alex the Newsreader.
The Subways, they're joining the rock and roll street party that's going to explode across Camden Town on the 31st of May.
Well, I think they've checked out for health and safety, because I'm not sure that an exploding subway is what anyone wishes to be a part of.
Well, yeah, or Dogman Stars.
No, that's weird, Alex, because that's a reference to something like that 2 hours ago. Yeah, it's just going to confuse people.
It was, sorry. I'll move on, look. Metallica. They've debuted a brand new track live at a show in Colombia. It was at the Parque Simón Bolívar in Bogota.
Were any of those words correct?
Yes, they were. I happen to have studied Spanish, you know. Look it up on YouTube. Just type in, how do Colombians speak?
I'm not doing that.
And then you'll see that they'll say Bogota. It's true. Now, some of the bands that are going to be playing there are Codaline.
Codaline, I would imagine.
Codaline, sorry. Oh, my word. Sorry. There's some things I can't pronounce very well. I'm sorry about that.
That's handy in your line of work.
Pronunciation pronunciation lexic.
What, as a newsreader? How did that work at the interview? If you got anything that might get in the way of the newsreading, I'm pronunciation dyslexic. Fine, come in.
I remember when listening sometimes when Phil Scolari or Fabio Capello used to give sound bites on the radio. That would sound like a Metallica or Iron Maiden song played backwards.
And if you can work out what Alex has been drinking during his ones in answers on a postcard. What you couldn't see there was that Alex sort of mimed the music news as he was going along there and genuinely did a crazy finger point at the word Croydon. Did you see that? That's the most exciting Croydon's ever been when you did that.
It needs to be pointed out that it's somewhere that needs to improve slightly, doesn't it?
Ooh, controversial. Oh, dear. I'm going to call out the name of some things, and it's either going to be a dog, a man, or a star, and you just have to tell me which, all right? Is that clear to you, Alex?
Can I just ask that?
No, whether it's clear or not.
Okay, fine, it's clear. Oh, grief.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast.
I think the highlight for me... Oh, hello, by the way. It's the podcast. I think the highlight for me this week was newsreader Alex shouting, put it next to your face. Because, you know, you heard that. Obviously, we all heard him doing it there. And it just got a bit sinister, didn't it? It was just the wrong tone, slightly. Put it next to your face, he shouted. It's like a...
He's like Buffalo Bill.
It was like the hose that puts the lotion in the basket, or it gets the hose again, or whatever it was. Rub the lotion on that from Silence of the Lambs. And newsreader Alex there, tucking his genitals between his legs, dancing around naked in his shed
to Kavanagh.
Also, like on Silence of the Lambs. Anyway, put it next to your face. Put it next to your face.
Put it next to your face.
Put it next to your face. If you enjoyed this podcast, we recommend that you put it next to your face.
Put it next to your face.
Thanks, Dave, joining in.
If you like this podcast, why not check out some of the other great ones available to download at xfm.co.uk.
XFM.
XFM. Ellis James and John Robbins.
We are being tested on our knowledge of youth slang because Ellis has been exposed to youth patois that has befuddled him, and he's had to ask his grandson what all the words mean.
This is a great text from someone. Piff means nice. Leng or lenge means nice.
Leng.
Well, it's L-E-N-G.
That sounds like a sort of Norwegian word. I was in Norway doing some gigs this week, and leng sounds like a Norwegian word. Norwegian, incidentally, sounds like English when you're asleep. So if you talk in your sleep, and you're just kind of going, Nielsen, yep, Burger King, just that. Every so often, it was really fun to me. Watch this Norwegian comic. It's 10 minutes in Norwegian. And he was obviously doing a bit about McDonald's, and his routine went like this. It's gone flumen into Kirsten in the flaken, the big tasty bacon, and the flauken und the spack leng this on a big tasty bacon. The only English words you get, big tasty bacon. So that became the catchphrase of the tour, big tasty bacon. And then I would go on stage afterwards and try and guess what they had been doing their sets about based on the English words. But what on earth does leng come from?
I don't know.
Big tasty bacon.
Music. Music. That rocks. XFM.